when airplanes and unpiloted drones mix.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm David Brancaccio. After 5 years of arguing, a pile of stopgap funding measures and complaints from labor unions, Congress has come up with a roadmap governing air travel in America. The Federal Aviation Administration gets its funding, GPS navigation will play a much bigger role in our skies, and soon, pilot-less aircraft will be allowed to share more airspace if regulators can work out the rules so that all these flying objects can stay out of each other's way. Doug Davis is at New Mexico State University and is former head of the FAA's unmanned aircraft program. Mr. Davis, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
I understand there's already a lot of interest in this kind of technology from, for instance, law enforcement with surveillance. Even farmers are interested in drones.
Absolutely. Some of our friends in the Department of Justice tell us that there are 19,000 law enforcement offices within the U.S., but less than 300 of those offices have what are termed aviation departments today. And so there's a big capability gap that a lot of law enforcement offices would like to close. It's a lot more affordable, gives them a lot more immediate capability. Agriculture, a lot of farmers are going high-tech with their tractors and GPS and those kinds of things, and the aerial capability, the aerial survey capabilities would give them much more capability to monitor and effectively manage their croplands.
What about those safety concerns? Do you think right now we have the ability to have unmanned and manned operate in the same airspace?
I think we do in restricted terms. I think we do when the operation is a visual line of sight operation. So the aircraft must remain within a visual operation from the pilot at all times.
This is often on a nice day where pilots can actually see out their windshield and are not relying on instruments.
Well, that's right. But there are a lot of technology gaps still yet. And it's going to cost a lot of money, and you're going to have to do at some point in time some kind of cost benefit to see whether or not it makes sense to go out and spend $200,000 potentially for an unmanned aircraft collision avoidance system when your whole platform doesn't even cost, $50,000.
Yeah, and at some point, it's just cheaper to hire a human being, a pilot, to fly something.
Right. At some point, you got to do that cost benefit. And I'll be honest with you, right now, we really don't know the true cost to produce, operate, maintain unmanned aircraft within any airspace right now, period.
Well, Mr. Davis, I want to thank you for taking me through this. This is really helpful.
You bet. Take care.
Western Union is a 19th century brand that's still kicking. Telegrams are no longer big business, of course, but sending money back to foreign relatives is, with Western Union coming out with profits later today. Marketplace's Scott Tong has the story.
The world economy is limping, but remittances from migrant workers to their families back home are charging ahead. They grew 8% last year to $351 billion, according to the World Bank. That's an all-time high, following a soft patch in 2009. To put it all in context, remittances tripled the amount sent from governments to other governments via foreign aid. Why the resilience? The World Bank's Dilip Ratha says when times get tough, migrants find a way to suck it up.
They consume a bit less, or they share accommodation with others, and then they send the saving back home. Because every dollar that you send from here can mean so much more in a place like Bangladesh or in Mexico.
Another reason? The dollar is still strong in places like Mexico and India. And if a dollar goes a long way, migrants here send lots of them home. The U.S. is the world's largest source of remittances. Outflows from the United States last year grew by 8%. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And now let's do the numbers. Fed Chairman Bernanke's on Capitol Hill today, both worrying about U.S. unemployment staying higher than it used to stay. He's also worried about America's lack of a comprehensive tax policy. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at this moment up 24 points, about 0.2%. The S&P 500 is up by just a point. NASDAQ Composite up about 0.1%. The latest on Disney's profits is on the way later today. There's word its ABC television division is talking to Univision about a new cable news channel in English for the rising market for Hispanic viewers.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Innocentive, helping organizations generate creative ideas and solve key problems through open innovation and crowdsourcing solutions. Innovation consultants available at 855-PROUD-NOW. by Reputation.com. Monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by The Economist, presenting its third annual Ideas Economy Innovation event on March 28th in Berkeley, California. More information at innovation.economist.com.
All right, don't miss this. Puerto Rico has an issue with iguanas. The territory has some 4 million of them. There are more lizards, apparently, than people. The government has come up with a plan to curb the iguanas. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
They want to slaughter the iguanas, then sell them overseas to butchers and restaurant owners. There aren't many natural predators in Puerto Rico.
I know if I was able to bring it into the UK, I know I would be able to sell it.
That's Paul Cook. He owns Osgrow. It's a distributor based in the UK, specializing in things like ostrich meat, snails, locusts.
We're not selling iguana in the UK, only in pet shops as pets.
Cook says there's a growing market for what are called exotic meats. Puerto Rico wants to capitalize on that. Immigrants want to cook what they ate back home. World travelers want to recreate meals they had on vacations. Cook runs a side business, a gastropub that caters to the curious.
And you tend to sort of eat your way through the menu with the number of visits.
It looks unlikely Cook will get his hands on Puerto Rican iguana anytime soon. The plan is for the meat to be distributed in the U.S. first. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, the mega brewing company Miller Coors has just bought an outfit called Crispin Cider Company of Minnesota. Hard cider. Crispin's sales doubled last year. Plus, Anheuser-Busch, another brewery without micro in the title, is coming out with something called Michelob Ultralight Cider. The publication Advertising Age sees a trend here. At the moment, Woodchuck is the brand to beat. It has nearly half the hard cider market in America, and it's produced by a privately held company in Vermont. Is this what the doctor had in mind when she prescribed an apple a day? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
You want to cut medical costs? First, you gotta find the right kind of people.
In the sociology literature, these people are referred to as natural helpers. They're the type of people that will be at a neighbor's bedside, whether they're being paid to or not.
Step number two, keep people out of hospitals. I'm Kai Rizdahl. That story and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.